Before we get started with today's show, I wanted to tell you about another great ESPN podcast. The Hoop Collective with Brian Windhorst focuses on life in and around the NBA and dives into the playoffs. Twice a week, Brian is joined by ESPN NBA insiders including Tim McMahon and Tim Bontemps every Friday. That's The Hoop Collective. Listen wherever you get your podcasts, and also available on YouTube. Also, NBA Today, hosted by Malika Andrews, offers exclusive content Monday through Friday at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. Alongside Malika, there will be a full cast of NBA experts and insiders, including Kendrick Perkins, Chinua Achebe, Vince Carter, Zach Lowe, Woj, Ramona Shelburne, and many of our NBA reporters from around the league. Get caught up with the latest from around the NBA on NBA Today on ESPN and the ESPN app. One app, one tap. And also available as a podcast. Listen to NBA Today wherever you get your podcasts. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Right Time. My name is Bomani Jones. Thanks for listening wherever you get your podcast. Rate us, review us, give us 5 stars. You only give us 4 stars. I'm inclined to believe you are a hater. It is Foxworth Friday. Dominique Foxworth, what's going on?
The real deal is back.
Oh, word. you just couldn't be like, you know, what's up, dog? You had to re-announce your presence?
I mean, because I saw the Foxworth Friday go up last week. You had my man Spence on there. I got to be honest. Normally, when I leave a situation, I don't want it to be any better had I left. Like, I want to be missed. Like, I'm a reasonable person. I would pretend like I didn't, which is a sad story because the Ravens won the Super Bowl the year after I retired. So maybe they didn't need me, but that's all right. They can't get their money back. But so when I was listening to the episode, it was okay with me because I like Spencer a lot, and he's good. He's talented. He wasn't trying to do the show in the way that we do it. He did it in his way, and it was all right. I wasn't mad, but I'm happy to be back.
We had to live up to your standard. You know what I'm saying? We couldn't just go get any old body out there, man. We had to, you know, do it for the people. They was going to be so disappointed it wasn't you. So, you know, had to go get a white man. You know what I'm saying? And they was like, ah, yeah, that's what's up.
This might be a conversation for off the air. Do they break down demographics of podcasts the same way they do of television?
I think they can. I don't know how exactly, but I'm pretty sure that they do. By the way, thanks for watching on YouTube, guys. I just want to make sure you guys don't feel forgotten. They messing around with the Rooney Rule. We might get to that, but we was trying to figure out what to talk about the show. And after we thought it was set, I had to send the group text. Bruce Arians has entered the chat, although I guess Bruce Arians has departed from the chat. He is retiring. He made Todd Bowles the head coach. And the initial thought on this for me was, is that the coolest white man in the world? You know what I'm saying? Like, is that the white man that we need? Like, he waited until the Bucks wouldn't really have no other option but to hire one of his guys and, you know, bumped his dude up, his former college player, all that. He made that happen. Okay, cool. That's what's up. But did you see the Mike Florio hypothesis?
No, I didn't see it. What did Mike say?
Okay. So Florio had been discussing for a while that apparently there had been a little beef, some grumblings between Tom Brady and Bruce Arians. Or like the coaching staff in general, but there had been some grumblings there. And that one thing he mentioned is that Brady didn't appreciate the fact that basically Bruce Arians is semi-retired. You know, so it's really Byron Leftwich and Ty Bowles that are down there running stuff. And then Arians would come in and like the game plan would be done. And then Arians would come in and adjust it and all of that stuff. Like some dude who's got some connections to the Bucks is the 21st century. That's how we talk about these things, right? Some dude who knows this dude. But anyway, Florio hypothesized that Tom Brady basically was like, I ain't coming back unless Bruce Arians is out of here. And Tom Brady coming back effectively signaled the end for Bruce Arians. And I think that there's something to that in the sense that Brady's retirement itself felt kind of rushed. The timing of the return felt a little bit weird. And then this happens, you know, within the time window that it goes down. Maybe it's true. If it is true, it goes from like Bruce Arians, coolest white man ever, to Tom Brady, whitest white man ever. I am in the position that I can move this cat out of here. Old Kango Bruce, kick rocks, dog. Get that man out of here if you want me to come back. Yeah, that's what it's going to take. And they're like, psh, okay, we'll keep you posted. Like, y'all going to just watch how we flip it, right? Just kind of wait around. You know, Bruce like, yo, man, how's that Achilles doing? Yeah. I mean, like, do you really need to be walking around on that? Damn, come on, man.
That makes you feel a little bit better because they kicked him up to, or not up, over, I guess, to assisting Jason Light is like the title that he has now, which Bruce Arians ain't nobody's assistant. And so, honestly, that's all I've been thinking about. Like, no one probably knows Jason Light's name and no one cares about Jason Light, but I was thinking everyone in Tampa is probably happy right now except for Jason. Because Jason, before, was doing his thing. Like, he's been a really, really good general manager. Like, all the way back to before Tom Brady. That's why Tom Brady wanted to come down there. Because they built a roster that was attractive as hell. And he's been doing, making magic, talking people into sticking around when they shouldn't, talking guys out their money, all types of stuff that GMs revere and I hate. And then they were like, you know what? We're going to get Kango Bruce over here to help you out. So let's just assume that they're just giving him a title and he ain't really going to work and that Jason Light will be all right. But, I mean, Bruce was always the coolest white man around with the exception of slapping one of his players last year. That was a little across the line, but you get invited to enough cookouts, you start to think that you can get away with anything. And he got away with it. That was a little across the line, but I mean, how deliberate he has been with building his staff, like there's no arguing with that. I remember writing a piece a while ago, I guess when Bruce, I forgot what happened. But anyway, I wrote a piece about how it's the blackest staff in football.
Yeah.
Now it really is. Like the head coach, all the coordinators, the assistant head coach, the run game coordinator. Like, I believe it is it was close to 50-50 at one point. It might be a predominantly black staff. If you go minorities, you add the women that they have on the staff. I think they have assistant D-line coach and assistant strength coach who's a woman. Like, it's a majority minority staff. We looking at the USA 2045 or whatever it's going to be down there in Tampa. Well, only inside the Bucs facility. Outside the Bucs facility, Tampa.
There's some interesting like network effects on this, right? Because people ask, why did he put Ty Bowles on instead of Byron Leftwich? And one, it is possible that Byron Leftwich is not ready to be a head coach. He's only been a coordinator for like 3-4 years or something like that. But the other thing is, Byron goes back with Bruce to Pittsburgh. Ty Bowles goes back with Bruce to Temple, right? Bowles has already had this job, you know, been a head coach before, and it looks like it's a situation where, let's make a Tony Dungy comparison. Not saying that Ty Bowles is Tony Dungy, but Tony Dungy became a Hall of Fame head coach when they stopped letting him touch the offense, right? His taste in offensive coordinators is abysmal. And what got him fired in Tampa was his hiring offensive coordinators. Indianapolis was like, we've got that taken care of. We got Tom Moore and we got Peyton Manning. You ain't even got to do nothing on that. Just take these scraps we're going to give you on defense and turn it into something passable and everything will be fine. And he wrote that to the Hall of Fame. So if you're telling Ty Bowles, Tom and Byron are going to handle this offense, Ty Bowles becomes a much better head coach than he was with the Jets. Because let me tell you what he was not with the Jets, brother. A good head coach.
I mean, he wasn't a bad head coach.
Here's what I'd say.
Okay.
Obviously, part of it is the Jets. But ain't nobody cutting Adam Gase no slack on that. But no. Part of it is obviously the Jets. And the closest thing he had to a quarterback was that magical Ryan Fitzpatrick year.
Exactly.
Like, that's what he had. But otherwise, it wasn't really cracking. But his game management and stuff like that was still, like, mediocre. The one thing I'd give him, though, was that his dude still played for him. I live here, so I got to watch a lot of that trash. They didn't mail it in. Like, they kept bringing it while he was the coach. But if he don't have to deal with the offense and he can just focus on what he's good at, this can work.
Over Todd Bowles' time in the Jets, I think by, like, the advanced statistics, they were, like, the first or second best defense. And while we try to find, like, the advanced stats are meant to try to, like, isolate performance, it's hard to isolate performance when you look across and you see that McCown's your quarterback. it's real hard to play good defense. And you see, Fitzpatrick's your quarterback. It's real hard to keep going out there and play good defense. So for them to do that over that period of time is a real testament to Todd Bowles as a defensive mind. And I think also, to your point, as his ability, which I think is the most important thing as a head coach, your ability to connect with the players, your ability to, like, the buzzword culture is often overused. I'm not sure that people understand exactly what it is, but I do believe that's something that only the head coach or the head coach can have the biggest impact on. And considering the Jets culture is what the Jets culture is, the idea that the players didn't give up on Todd Bowles says something about him. To be completely honest with you, I don't remember his game management. I see his record was garbage. I know he, like, overachieved early, and then, frankly, they did what they were supposed to do, given the talent they had after that. It's like, I guess that's how I ended up on, like, he wasn't a bad head coach. He wasn't a head coach that was going to be like, oh, man, give him anything, right, and they're going to be all right. So I like Todd Bowles as the decision here, even though the Bucs defense kind of fell apart a bit at the end of last season. I like him in this role, and it sounds like he was already in that role, and I feel Tom Brady. One thing I ain't for is somebody parachuting in at the end of stuff and then telling us what we is and ain't going to do. Like, that can't be good, especially if you're Tom Brady. Like, put in the work. Don't just show up Bruce Arians on Friday and be like, nah, this the red zone package I like. Come on now.
I will note, by the way, like, this television show I work at all, that's the whole job for me, is parachuting in at the end. like I try to tell them where to go, right? Yeah. Like before it gets started, you try to tell them, but in the end, nope, it's me in this red pin. That's what the game is, and I bet it's annoying as hell.
But I mean, it's different because in that situation, you are, while it's your show, your name's on it, the head coach is the head writer. Like, you are coming in at the end to run the plays. I feel like it's a little different. The expectation is a little different. Like, if the head writer showed up on the last day and was like, nah, get it all out of here, and told you what to say, I'd be like, nah, I don't think you'd be down for that.
And I imagine it is also wild and annoying. I'm not Tom Brady, right? Yeah. Like, he is Tom Brady, and he's like, yeah, that's cute what y'all came up with, if that's the case, because Arian says that that's 100% absolutely not the case. And it's even mentioned, I think Florio even made the point, and I think there's something to it, that if Tom Brady really forced him out, then he probably wouldn't have been so gracious about it. So what I think is far more likely is that they told Tom Brady Bruce was going to leave. Just wait, don't worry, it's going to happen. And then, you know, that way everything goes smooth, because Tom Brady ain't the type that's going to lean on you, because that'll make him look bad. You dig? Like, he ain't going to be that dude. But now, man, Todd Bowles gets that job. The thing with Tom Brady, man, and this is what's so wild about all of this to me, and I get it, if Tom Brady comes back, you take Tom Brady. Tom Brady is not the reason they won that Super Bowl. And if any of those, like, one possession games in the NFC portion of the playoffs had gone the other way, Tom Brady would have been the reason that they didn't go.
Exactly.
Like, if you go back and look at it, we talked about it as it happened, and everybody just completely forgot this idea that he just gonna keep being good forever. It don't work that way.
Yeah, I mean, I remind everybody of all the shows that I'm on every chance I get, how that playoff run went. And then Tom Brady came back the next year and put up numbers.
Yes.
And a performance for the season that I thought was worthy of getting the MVP trophy. And then he came in the playoff game, and he definitely wasn't the reason they lost that playoff game to the Rams last season. So while it's true, and I think this goes back to the point about culture, is when Tom Brady steps in to an organization, things change. There are very few people like that, where they are so respected and so revered that guys who ain't doing extra work, they doing extra work now. Guys who are making mental errors, they ain't making them no more. That's the best way I could say, if I wanted to give Brady credit for that first season Super Bowl, it's that. Because that defense, them boys wasn't making no mistakes. Everybody was making plays. And I do think there is something to having this understanding that these are the accepted processes. This is what we do here. And we go through a pandemic and nobody out here practicing. You know what? Well, Tom Brady said we on this high school field. Any other quarter, not any other quarterback, but most quarterbacks say that, you're going to get 25% of the roster. Tom Brady say that, you're going to get some retired guys come out of retirement and show up and get put in some work. And that means something. To know that your words have that much value, or your presence, and to wield it in a way that Tom Brady has, is a whole nother skill that we don't account for because we don't see it.
I That's real talk, man. Like, the thing that I, from a distance, and I'm not one of those who prays to the altar of Tom Brady, right? Like, that stuff gets on my nerves. But the thing that seems to me from a distance the most respectable is just that he still knows how to kick it with dudes. Like, even being Tom Brady and everything that's there, what he's getting out of guys is conferred upon him by respect rather than just, I don't want to say authority. I don't know if that's the right word, but you know what I mean? Yeah. It's not like, I got to do this because he's Tom Brady. It's like, yo, man, I see Tom Brady out here grinding. He'd be in here talking to us and stuff like that. All right, cool, Tom. I'll come out here. Yeah, yeah, let's go ahead. He got Antonio Brown in line.
Yeah, for a little bit.
For
as long as you could expect anybody to do that. But I heard this story about Tom Brady that, or I mean, it's not a story, but he introduces himself to guys who come in the locker room by saying, hey, I'm Tom. And it tickles the hell out of everybody he does it to. And that, like, he understands what he is doing. He has a game plan for his conversations the same way he has a game plan for on the field. And understanding that, like, you and I talked about this off the show, is like, you're in a leadership, more of a leadership role now than you've been before. And you understand that if you don't like something, and I'm putting words in your mouth, so correct me if I'm wrong, but like, if you don't like something in the script, if you were a writer, you'd be like, I don't like that. But now as a performer, you got to be a little more like conscious of how you express your interests. And you know that if you say something positive, that's going to hit hard. You know that you are the man in these streets.
Yeah, it's not I don't like it as much as I think this needs.
Right.
It's the add-on portion. It's the I think this needs. What's wild about that, though, in this day and time, and it's something I just didn't do the math on. So, like, the first meeting that we had where something was being presented to me, which, by the way, wild stuff, right? Like, the idea that I'm coming into the meeting and I'm looking up at the screen and there are people zooming in and they're showing this stuff to me. And they all over there looking at me, trying to see how I feel about it. Something happened and I had to check my phone and then I go, damn, we lost them, right? Like it's all that. I've never been in the position to where I'm the person that they looking at like that.
I mean, hold on, time out. Even the idea that you are checking your phone openly in a meeting, like, suggests a level of power some people may not be accustomed to.
Fair. But the thing that it dawned on me that I didn't quite do the math on was they can't tell anything because I got this mask on.
Yeah.
So I'm over there like smiling and laughing at things that are on the screen and nobody knows it but me because I got a mask on.
Y'all mask off now, though.
Nah, we mask on, dog. Yeah, the city can do whatever they want. The company is mask on. And guess what? Even if the company wasn't mask on, if you're going to come over here into my office, you're going to need to put this mask on. Why? Everybody else, we can go for at least a week get another one of you.
Yeah, that's fair.
You can't, you know, it's not going to be game theory with cross out Dominique Foxworth. Like, that's just not.
They can't pull that trick.
Yeah, it ain't PTI, baby. You can't just call Pablo and put him in the chair because somebody ain't come to work. Like, if I don't come to work, ain't no coming to work. And by the way, I'm not positive that everybody gets paid. So we need to, you know, like, I never really asked, but I can't, if it ain't no episode, I don't think there's no checks. So yeah, mask on, baby, mask on. No, get your nasty ass away from me if you out. Oh no, mask on, baby, mask on.
Oh man.
But now the thing with Brady, though, with that introducing himself to everybody and people saying it's so tickles them, I'm like, what else is he supposed to do? Because I know he's Tom Brady, but I tell you this, boy, ain't nothing worse than expecting somebody to know who you are and finding out that they do not.
Yeah, that is. Yeah, I learned that lesson a long time ago. I introduced myself in all settings. It don't matter. Well, I mean, honestly, the level you're at, a different level of celebrity, but the level of celebrity I'm at is still like, if I want them to know my name, I'm gonna have to tell them. I normally don't, but I don't know. I think Tom Brady, the way that most people in his position would introduce themselves is just come over and say, hey, how you doing? What's your name? Or something like that. Or he might know their name. The fact that he says, hi, I'm Tom. He know what he's doing there. Yo, of course you're Tom.
Let me tell you this about that level of celebrity. I am just famous enough to get my face cracked. So I was somewhere once and I saw Addison Pack two tables away. We like the only people who's there. I try to leave people alone. Right? Like, I'm not that person because I prefer to be left alone. I had done a FaceTime with him maybe a year before, somewhere in there. My man's the same place he was. I got the vibe that, like, he knew who I was. So I was like, yo, I'm gonna go holler at him. And as I'm walking over, the person he's with, like taps him on the shoulder to let him know somebody's coming. And I'm like, oh, I've lost already. I've lost already. He turns around. No idea who I am. Clueless. Totally.
Would you say or do you just kept walking to the bathroom?
I was like, yo, man, I met you with my homie. Oh, right? Like, I had to try to, like, but I had to give an explanation as to why it was that I was disturbing you. I had some plausible reason to believe that perhaps there was something here.
Did he remember that experience, or there was nothing? There was nothing. So, okay, I met you with my homeboy, and he was like, all right. And then you was
he
like,
was all polite. Right. He was polite, and I hightailed it, man. Yeah. I just wanted to run away. I just like in that moment, it was a Southwest Airlines commercial, dog. Like I just wanted to turn and sprint. I felt like I wanted to run like I just broke something in a store. Like I just oh my goodness, it was the worst. But Dave, that's the thing, man. Tom Brady gonna come across that one person who.
That's why he hit you with the hey, I'm Tom. He is safe for that. I go into eye contact with those people and. If they lock for longer than like a tenth of a second, I assume that they know who I am. Then I move on with my confidence intact.
Yeah, you know, his back was turned. That was the thing. So I had to like... It's an old story about Will Rogers that he was meeting with the president of the United States at the time, Calvin Coolidge, whose nickname was Silent Cal, right? Like he was that guy. Somebody had bet Will Rogers that he couldn't make Calvin Coolidge laugh. And so Will Rogers meets him and he comes up to the president and he looks at him and says... I'm sorry, I didn't get your name. And he won the bet.
That's a good move. That's well an played. Excellent move. I'm going to pull well that played. Next time I'm in a celebrity's presence.
Yeah.
And why are you here?
yeah. I tell you this, you better pick that celebrity carefully. Not everybody has a sense of humor over these matters. Like, let me tell you who you better not do that to. Nobody that works the local news, man. Ain't nobody more sensitive about you knowing who they are than the people who work the local news. I had it happen to me twice. I knew who the people were, or at least the first dude, I knew who he was, but I'm not from that. It was in Durham.
Yeah.
I'm not from there. I don't know which channel you on. I just know that you on one of them. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't, like, even now, I can't remember what the channels were in Durham. You know, the ABC, CBS, Fox. You know, like, I can't remember which is which. But I knew the dude as a local news dude, and we were talking, and I was just like, all right, now, remind me, like, what channel are you on? And he told me. I was like, oh, okay. And so I walked away. My man come up to me later and is like, so, like, you just don't watch the news? Is that what it is?
No, nobody watches local news, but I know.
But again,
I know that's not what you were saying. You knew you just did with channel.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I know you all. A, I don't watch the news, but two, I even with that, I knew you was on the news. I had a woman once introduce herself, and I didn't recognize her from the news, but she was on the news, and I was like, oh, okay, cool, nice to meet you, right? And so I leave, and then she come back and find me. So I'm just. Do you just not watch the news? Is that what it Why? Was? Like, they the most sensitive about it because the people on the local news, by and large, got on the local news because they wanted everybody in town to know who they was.
It's not 1970. I mean, don't nobody watch the news like that. There's something I'm sensitive about. I shouldn't pass my judgment. But, like, I have never been upset because somebody ain't know who I was. They never made me upset.
That's the best news I got all day, boy. That means I ain't got to talk to you. I love nothing more than if somebody asks me if I'm J.A. or Don Day. No. I'm Audi 5G, dog.
The move that people know that you don't want to have these sports conversations in public, so sometimes I get that where people be like, I know you don't want to talk about this. But, I gotta give you my take. And I politely listen. I've never argued back. I just take the take, whatever value it is, and I shake my head like, hey, yeah, all right, bro. You take it easy.
Yeah, you know what part of that is, though? You a better dude than me.
Nah.
And I mean that in the sense that when they hit me with, man, I got to. Now, you ain't got to, but you can do it. Like, let's stop acting like this is some sort of obligation. Like, you got the fever and you just can't fight it. Like... Dog, I ain't really trying to hear that.
Oh, man. So you ever engage him in the conversation? Have you ever had somebody give you a take that was so bad or so good that you... Yeah, somebody might come with a serious take. They might get me then. Like, if somebody come and be like, the NFL is being too hard on Deshaun Watson, like, I feel like I can't give him the nod and smile and walk away.
Yeah. Well, I just don't understand. It's no disrespect to y'all. I want to be clear. I just don't know why y'all think I care what you think about these things. That's the part. Like, I just don't know why you think that when I went to the mall, I was just waiting to run up on you and find out what you think. about the draft. I just have no idea, right? Like, you know that Lil Wayne interlude we talk about being in Miami and dudes trying to battle him on the street?
Yeah.
Like, that's what I feel like happens a lot of time with that, is that cats want to battle rap with you. And I'm like, no, put a bag up, man. Like, this is not... This, honestly, when I cut my hair, I did it because I moved to Miami and I was like, I just don't want to go to a new barbershop. Like, I'm already going to the barbershop at 7:30 in the morning, so I can get in and out of here as quickly as possible and nobody knowing who I am. Like, I'm already doing this. I can't go to a new city with this.
Do you ever have people try to get a personal show? Rather than giving their take, they ask you a question. It's like, I mean, if you walked over to Anderson and sing a song, play an instrument.
With my silverware, unwrapped the napkin, handed him a spoon. It was like, you got a spoon there too, right? All right. Play a solo, dog. Play a solo. Look, man, I just got to add. No. Like normally if I can keep it quick or people are like nice about it, I can go with it. Like, charm matters. If you're not particularly charming, I really don't want to do this, right? But if you got some charm about you, okay, cool. We can go about it. I'd be having to change like bank locations that I go to, because it's just like, nah, man, I can't do this every time I come in here. So here's what I think is funny. They add into the Rooney Rule. They try to make it now that everybody got to have one offensive coach. And I'm like, duh, they already been doing that. It's called the running backs coach. Like, I don't feel like that's not going to change what the issue is. That ain't going to change what the problem is. But they also added a component to the Rooney Rule about women. And that one is where this is going to be interesting, because they're going to be passing like the same eight women around. We see this happen with the black dudes, where you wind up what we just call like the same three or four people. What you think that's going to be with women?
Yeah, I didn't know the pipeline comes up so often. And I feel like that's just like a good way to dodge your responsibility when it comes to black coaches. Because the coaches are out there, the people are out there. And even if they weren't been willing to go outside of the pipeline, you said that maybe Byron Leftwich is not ready to be a head coach. And that's completely possible. But it's not for experience, because there's lots of people with less experience who have gotten that opportunity. So the pipeline always seemed like an absurdity to me. However, I have no idea. Like, and this is not to say that this exists or doesn't exist. Like, I don't know how many women exist in the football pipeline. Like, I know that there are tons of black college football players, presumably, and there's even more high school football players. And I know lots of those people like want to stay in sports but can't for whatever reason. Like, I know that to be the case. I know that there are plenty of women who are football fans, but the same sort of, I guess, course does not exist, because there is not women's tackle football in high school and in colleges. When they bring up the pipeline, because it's going to happen, if they're unable to find women, if they're looking for women, when they bring that up, like, I'm not so sure how to react to it. Like, I don't have a problem with them to try to stay ahead of this, because women in the locker rooms or women on staffs is not a major issue. It's not something I feel like that has risen to the level of black coaches.
Yeah, critical mass.
Yeah. So, like, I'm fine with them staying. I'm certainly not going to step out here and say, no, don't worry about them. Like, I'm fine with that. But I guess to the degree that it matters for how it impacts everybody else, like, that is the only thing that pops into my head. And is there a line of them trying to get in?
Let me tell you what worries me. Man, if some of these ladies now put in better position by the Rooney Rule, start getting jobs that these brothers want, baby, it's gonna get oogly out here in these streets. Who gonna be the first person to give the wrong quote to the wrong reporter? They lucky that the only people that call them for information are black reporters, because otherwise it is one hire away from a potential alliance being ruined and destroyed.
I mean, that's sad, and I don't want to be cynical, but that is like classic move for people in power, is to pit the crabs in the barrel against each other. And I don't think the NFL is that strategic or that malicious. No. I'm going to put that out there. But like, it's obvious that at some point, that's what the conversation is going to be about. It's going to be about who's taking these roles.
And also, I mean, they're hedging. The league definitely is feeling a little concerned about what might come out of this in the courts. And didn't I see something about apparently somebody else that's looking to perhaps put out a suit that may go all the way up to the ownership level So, you know, so there's some talk about that. Like, say what you want about Flores. He ain't letting this thing go away.
I mean, I respect it. And he's on the Steelers staff right now. We'll see if Mike Tomlin ever plans on retiring, if Flores is still there, if that's the guy they turn to, because I'm not sure that he gets a head coaching job otherwise. Like, you're going to have to inherit it. He's not going to be a part of the black coach interview circuit ever again, in my view.
Yeah, no. He's going to be talking to Leslie Frazier or whoever else they decide to get on that. Nah.
This popped in my head when we were talking about the Deshaun Watson stuff, the leaked deposition stuff. Did you have any, like, reaction to that?
I saw one clip, okay. Right?
All right.
I saw the one clip from the leaked deposition, and he did not come across as credible.
Man, like, the thing that keeps blowing my mind is, why won't he just say that he was trying to purchase? So when I listen to him in the deposition, that is the only story that sounds potentially reasonable, is that he had gotten in the habit of soliciting sexual favors through Instagram under the air quotes massage. And the things that he did in these interactions, like, sometimes he would expose himself, and that was what he understood to be the signal to move on to the next step. And that's what he was doing in these situations, is he thought that this was the protocol. I mean, there are other stories in there that don't fit that, but I feel like most of them would fall into that category. And when he's telling the story, it's like, did you find this woman attractive? He said in one of the depositions. And he said, I have a girlfriend. Man, if you don't.
since I have a girlfriend. Like, it almost feels like every story that he's telling is actually about the girlfriend. Like, it isn't about the law. It isn't about the job. It isn't anything else. Did you find her attractive? I only have eyes for my queen.
It reminds me so much of, at least the deposition, and I don't want to make light of this, even though there is some funny stuff in there, but it reminds me of, like, looking back on the lies that I told when I was 14, and, like, I thought they was good. I thought my parents was duped, but my parents just ain't feel like dealing with me. When I'm watching him, I'm like, I had a girlfriend, bruh. Like, I had a girlfriend. No, that ain't gonna work. The one of the depositions said he drove 30 minutes out of town to a woman's mother's house to get a massage. You are an all-pro quarterback. I was just trying to give me a regular sports massage. Like, I can't imagine, like, an adult letting that come out their mouth and expecting us to believe that. And it's not to say that he is guilty, because, like, I can't say that, but I can say that the 23 stories that we've heard seem more credible than the leaked depositions that we got from him.
That's the 2 a.m. home alone. Wishing you come over my place.
Van Genuine. What he doing right now?
Yo, what a great question.
He still got his sideburns and an S-curl?
Yo, you know what's kind of funny about, like, Genuine and that whole era of singers? That, you know, the older folks was definitely looking at them like, yo, they gonna ruin music. They gonna ruin R&B. And did they actually do it, because R&B barely exists anymore? Like, is that what happened?
I mean, there's a R&B and hip-hop, like, met in the middle. What is now the mainstream of it is not a pure version of either. And,
it's both.
And, yeah, and our old asses are like, but remember when? Like, I don't know what this new version is, but don't none of it be hitting quite like Jodeci. You know, like, it was, I'm not saying that music was, like, pure or good.
Yeah.
But it was definitely R&B.
Yeah.
It was a version of it.
It's all R. Kelly's fault, man. Once cats started singing rap lyrics, like, that's something I'm out on. Like, that's actually with me with Beyonce's music, where I can get held up and just like, no, man, either sing or rap. But I don't want to hear you sing rap lyrics. Like, the thing about Pac that's so wild to me is that he's the first person ever that could do that. And I'd be like, oh, okay, you kind of, like, got something going here. But you singing because you can't rap? Are you rapping because you can't sing? Like, that, you remember that TQ who said he started singing because he couldn't rap?
Oh, God. I mean, so, like, the voice, the affect of your voice has always been a part of, like, hip-hop music and your flow or whatever, like, the cadence, all that stuff. And that's, like, always been a version of singing, but it was definitely not singing. And now, you know, and now it is clearly singing. I don't know what song it was that got my son into Eminem, but now my son obsessed with listening to Eminem songs all the time. Ooh. May not be the greatest. I listen to it with him. We talk about the things that are being said in there. I'm not the parent that's going to be like, oh, no, especially in this day and age with the internet and everything. I'm not
right.
Like,
you can't win.
You're not going to listen to this. They say the F word. Like, come on. Like, he done heard
it. You know what you sound like? Like my homeboy says, like, you sound like the person that still writes letters to Sports Illustrated about the swimsuit issue. Not that you don't have a point.
Yeah.
It's just that, yo, if you're going to take up this fight, I feel like there's other places where we need some soldiers.
That is not where I'm going to, like, for the game plan. We are not stacking the box to stop to stop him from seeing or hearing things that could be potentially offensive.
Like, in fact, that's exactly what it is. Writing a letter about the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue is like running the 46 defense in 2022. Like, you're right. There was a time when we first thing we needed to do was stop the run. But right now, we need to be running the dive because they got some heavy artillery, man.
I mean, it's still,
like, they throwing bombs.
I agree. It's the perfect analogy because it still remains an important principle in football. You have to be able to stop the run. However, there are much more important things when Tyreek Hill is out there on the edge. Because if they get 5 yards or my son sees a woman in a swimsuit, okay, we might have to have a conversation about that. But if they go over the top, somebody introduce him to something hard.
Right.
Yeah, that's what I'm out here looking for. I'm making sure nobody hit a bomb on my kids.
Yes. Well, the other part of it, too, is the swimsuit issue is not the play action pass. Right?
It is
a running play. It looks like a running play. It's going to be a running play.
It is not true.
Like you get the swimsuit issue and then you get in the middle like, whoa, wait a minute. This is something different.
The swimsuit issue might be the safest thing out there. Because you go on the internet, you might stumble onto the hub. And that is one thing I'm not ready for my 9-year-old to be introduced to. So, like, I am expending all of my energy, keep my man off the hub. I ain't ready for that conversation. We've had sex talks, but we ain't had no conversations about that type of stuff.
Yo, here's the thing. Not only are you not ready for that conversation, even if you thought you were ready for that conversation is not going to be the one that you envision in your brain. In your brain, you envision, we're going to talk about it. The conversation is actually going to be, close your laptop right now.
We've had sex conversations with our children multiple times. Like, that's not something that I'm uncomfortable with.
Talk about sex.
Yeah, I know. That's the point I'm making. It's not something I want them growing up with some hangups about, or it's like, oh, it's so weird. It's crazy. Like, we had these conversations. They know all about it. We're not talking about storks around here. We use anatomically correct terms. Like, we are completely comfortable with having these conversations about sex. I ain't comfortable with having no hub conversations. Not with a 9-year-old. I am not trying to see what his search history is. Like, I don't want to know none of that. It's like, what tabs you clicking on? I'm good on that. Maybe one day. But this is not the day. I remember, like, this is the one thing. So, like, I try my best to acknowledge that, like, we as humans, like, we go in these cycles where the old people are always going to say what the young people are in is stupid and, like, everything's so much easier for them. It may be true, but, like, I try to fight against that. But this is one area where it's actually true. Like, I had to go to the Patapsco flea market, to the back of the Patapsco flea market, to find a store called Dirty Rays to get my tapes when I was in high school. In DVDs, I was on the verge. There was tapes and DVDs. Or I had to get at one homeboy. I remember his name. I ain't going to say it. But would dub them all and sell them at school for a couple dollars. Now these kids... just one click.
One click.
And the scary part about that to me is, like, when you are very young, like, these things form the way that you, like, you enter the world and the way you view things. And when you're younger, you're probably more open to different things. It'd take two clicks to get into something wild. Wild.
Sorry about that. The conversation sometimes meander and we talk about raising kids. You know, like the things that you learn about trying to raise a young man in this world. You dig?
Just want them to respect them. That's all.
There we go. Say that. Dominique Foxworth, check him out on Get Up. Check him out on Debatable. Check him out all over the ESPN over there at the Anscape. You can check him out there too. And ladies and gentlemen, thanks so much for joining us here on The Right Time. Thanks for joining us on YouTube. We do this about three times a week. Gabe Bassain and Adi Khan handle things behind the scenes. Thank you, gentlemen. Remember, follow The Right Time. Rate us, review us, give us 5 stars. You only give us 4 stars. I'm inclined to believe you are a hater. And we'll talk to you guys in a couple of days. Take it easy.
Thanks for checking out The Right Time with Bomani Jones Podcast.
You can listen or follow on the ESPN app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
The Right Time
with Bomani Jones.